With greetings again, friends and brethren, I hope this finds everyone doing well. If you need a title for this message today, it is, What Separates Us from Other Groups? What Separates Us from Other Groups? And when I use the term groups there, I'm not talking about mainstream Christianity or groups or churches of this world, but I'm talking about the other splinter groups of what was once the Worldwide Church of God, those many divisions and 400 and something groups and splinters today. What separates us from those, or what makes us different? And the reason why I am addressing this today is because I do get many emails. There are people out there searching for the truth. And I get many emails from various church members out there, or people that in between churches are just looking or studying, and they want to know what the difference is between us and several other groups out there. And so they often compare us to the Philadelphia Church of God, or the Restored Church of God, or the Church of God Faithful Flock, and there's a few others, Steadfast, and a few others like that, that claim to hold fast to the teachings of Mr. Armstrong. And so at the first glance of the website, they don't see the difference, so they just immediately email and ask, what's the difference between you and these other groups? You seem to be saying the same thing. Well, if people would take the time and read through the website, all those questions would be answered through the articles there and the audio messages. There is a difference. But what I would like to do today is to try to give a condensed message, audio message here, on what the major differences are. And hopefully from this I'll be able to write an article, not necessarily a transcript of this message, but at least a brief article to also go on the website where it can be easily seen at the top on the left there, so people will see a title there, what separates us from other groups, and then that'll answer some questions in general, but the emphasis should be to still go ahead and read on through the website, read the other articles and information and all the proof there from Mr. Armstrong, as well as my audio messages that I've given to bring everything up to date, where who we are and why we are. So I'll try to have an article also based on this message. But what I wanted to do today is to try to address, and hopefully not any self-righteous way, because I can say this to everyone right off the bat, that we're no better than anyone else, any other churches, and no other brethren of the Church of God, or anyone else in the world for that matter. We don't consider ourselves better or more righteous by any means. If anything, we're humbled by understanding what God has blessed us with. So what does separate us from these other church groups out there, these other splinter groups, and even some of the ones we've been compared with, but even all the others? Is there anything in particular that does separate us? Well, actually, there are some major points which I want to cover today, and I'll just try to do each one briefly, because each one has been covered already in detail in various articles or audio messages on the website here. But just as an overview, to try to get it all condensed into at least the highlights of these points into one message, that's what I want to do here. So to begin with, let's look at Matthew 24, verse 14. We'll begin with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, Matthew 24. In fact, we're going to end the message with about the gospel as well, but hopefully. Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, today, many, and the vast majority of it is, of God's people and these various groups out there, are still trying to preach the gospel to the world as a witness, and they have failed to recognize what Mr. Herbert Armstrong taught about this. And so, as I've mentioned before, they're in a work of futility, a work of based on their own power, and Jesus Christ is not with them, and that's going to be clearly proven. But look again at this verse, and you'll see the whole purpose of the gospel being preached to the world. It's not to try to save mankind, see. It is to be preached as a witness only, as a witness only, and that is fulfilled prophecy. So here's one of the first things that separates us from the other groups, is that we believe that Matthew 24, verse 14, is fulfilled prophecy. It was fulfilled by God's end-time apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong, and he made it very clear, and the proof is here on the website, through his own sayings and writings and articles and from the Worldwide News and from his sermons. that he said that that gospel commission was given only to the apostles, and that he was called for that purpose, and that he believed when he died that that thing which God had called him for would be completed, which was to preach the gospel to the world. And so that is fulfilled prophecy. That's why today you see many works of futility, and none of these groups out there, absolutely none of them, have the kind of exposure or power that God had blessed Mr. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God with during that Philadelphia era, because Christ was there, and Christ was directing that work, and that was the preaching of the gospel. It was a worldwide witnessing work. But see, again, many of God's people have failed to recognize or forgotten a very fundamental truth of God. One of the fundamental truths that God revealed through Mr. Armstrong is that God is not calling the world as a whole right now. The majority of mankind will be called after Christ returns. But yet these groups go out there preaching the gospel with the fervency of some of these worldly religions, like some that I grew up in, like Baptist. They have the fervency or the mindset of, we've got to reach every person on the earth, and we've got to get everyone saved, so to speak. Of course, they're not using that terminology, but it's the same kind of mentality, trying to reach every person on the planet. When Christ makes it clear that it's only to be preached as a witness, in one of the fundamental truths of God, again, I point back to that, the people forget to remember, is that God is not calling the vast majority of mankind. That's going to happen after the return of Christ. He's only calling a few now to become teachers. How many times did Mr. Armstrong say that to us over and over and over again? And most of God's people have forgotten that. He's only calling a few to become teachers at this time. But many have disregarded this, and so they're going out and trying to duplicate a work that was already done through Mr. Armstrong, and it's already been fulfilled. Now, we do understand that the gospel is an everlasting gospel, but not the preaching of it as a witness. See, that gospel is continually alive and will be alive forever. It's an everlasting gospel, but there are different seasons of the gospel and different works within that. And just like what Mr. Armstrong said, that the preaching of the gospel was to be as a witness only, and only a few were being called. Well, that is true. And so now we're in a time where the great falling away has taken place, falling away from truth, as it is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that's what God's people fell away from, was that truth, that doctrine, that way of life. It's all contained in the gospel. So today, the gospel should be preached, but it needs to be preached to God's own people, so they'll live by it and return to it, instead of having over 400 versions of the gospel. That's the hypocrisy of all of it, is that all these groups are preaching and teaching their own version of the gospel. So you look at it through the eyes of Christ, or anyone else that tries to look at it from the outside objectively, and that's why they see so much confusion. So I get a lot of emails of, why has this one church got over 400 and almost 450 splits and divisions in only 22 years it took to do that? Well, it's because they've all gone their own way, and they departed from that one true gospel, and they're all preaching and teaching their own agendas and their own version of the gospel. So that, yeah, the gospel should be preached. It's already been preached to the world as a witness, so now the warning is to get God's people to wake up and get back to that gospel, that one true gospel, that one, and that gospel just simply means good news, but it contains all that truth that God revealed and restored in the end time through his apostle, all that way of life. So, on to another point here. We'll touch on this gospel more later. Come back to Matthew 17. This is part of the title of our website, Hold Fast to All Things, and this is a composite of two scriptures, but I'll touch on it again briefly, because this has to do with what separates us from other groups. See, and people ask, well, what's the difference between you and other groups out there? What's the difference between you and Restored Church of God, or the difference between you and Philadelphia Church of God, or United, or Living, or Steadfast, or any of these? What's the difference? Well, I'm going to point out these differences today to help people to discern who truly do want to know. Matthew 17, verse 11 says, Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. So today, as Mr. Armstrong even said before he died, and many audio messages, which are on the website, and also some documented in some of his writings in the Worldwide News, he did believe he fulfilled this office, and so do we. And many of the majority of God's people supposedly at that time in the early to mid-1980s believed it, but they don't anymore. So I ask the question, who changed? See, who changed there? But Matthew 17, verse 11 is fulfilled prophecy. Elijah did come and restore all things. That's what part of that, that's what that true gospel is, those all things, all that truth and doctrine, that way of life, pointing the way to the true God. See? Now, in conjunction with this, Revelation 3, we go to the next point. Some of these points I'll spend more time on than others. Just have to watch my time here. I only have so much time to do this message. But Revelation 3, in verse 12, this is where the first part of our heading of our website, hold fast to all things. Well, we know what the all things are. We just read that. Verse 11 here, Revelation 3, Jesus Christ, if you have a red letter edition, it's him speaking, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown." So he's commanding us to hold fast to something, and it's to what you have. Now he's speaking to the Philadelphia era. What did we have during that era, friends and brethren? It was the all things of Matthew 17, verse 11. All that truth and knowledge that God had revealed over 50-something years through his end-time apostle, the end-time Elijah, Mr. Herbert Armstrong. So that's why we have the title, Hold Fast to All Things. We hold fast to what God gave us during that era. That's the fundamental beliefs and doctrines of the Church of God. But today, see, Revelation 3, verse 12, verse 11, the Church has failed to do this. The Church as a whole, all these groups and splinters, they have failed to follow this last command of Jesus Christ in verse 11. That's the last command he gave us in the Philadelphia era before we went to the Laodicean of this end era. Now we can look back and see in the history of the last 22 years that indeed God's people did fail. Because if we would have held fast to what we had, we wouldn't have 450 splits and splinters today of what was once a worldwide united Church of God. See? So the Church as a whole failed to do this command. So we're in a time of trial and testing. And that's what this Laodicean era is about, because it's steeped in self-righteousness. That's what Laodicea means, let the people decide. So that's the attitude of all these groups out there and splinters, and I'd say all of us at one point in time have had that, because Matthew 25, verse 5, and that's another point, which I didn't put in my notes here, but that's another point that we believe that separates us from others. Matthew 25, verse 5 ties in with this. Christ says, "Where the bridegroom was delayed, they all," A-L-L, all, that means every single member of the Church of God, "fell asleep." Every single one of us. But today we have people saying that, "Oh, they never fell asleep. I've always been a Philadelphian." Well, then you're disputing with the words of Jesus Christ, because he said we all fell asleep. But again, written in Revelation 3:11 here, as a whole, the Church has failed to do this. So today, some are waking up, a few, and we're getting back to our spiritual roots, so to speak, that God revealed and restored through his end-time apostle. So the next point, and I'm trying to keep these as summarized as possible, for sake of time, but the next point has to do with the work today. It's the watchman. We are the watchman work. And watchman means to hedge about and guard and protect something. And that's what we do. We protect and preserve that truth that God revealed through Mr. Armstrong. And again, as I've mentioned many times, we don't worship Mr. Armstrong. People at first glance, if they don't understand this truth, they'll say, "Well, you're just another Armstrong worshiper." Oh, no, we're not. We worship the great God, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we realize that God is a family, that he's bringing other sons into his family, sons and daughters. But it's on his time schedule and according to his plan. But we don't worship Mr. Armstrong. But excuse me. We do acknowledge that God used him to do a specific work in the end time, and it's so very important work that you'll have to go and listen to some messages I did about that, such as who was that man, in upholding the standard, and some many of the other messages that I've done. It does revolve around point to that man. And again, to make a distinguishment here, there are many groups today that say that they follow Mr. Armstrong and continuing in his legacy. And I can tell you on the authority of Jesus Christ that they are emphatically are not. they are not, and they are taking his books that he wrote, and they're watering them down, and they're changing and editing and modifying it to suit their own agendas, and they don't even have the right governments. They have governments of fear and oppression, and that's not God's way. But that's another point I'm going to be touching on here shortly, is government. But today we are a watchman type work, and I've covered this many times. Remember, Mr. Armstrong was one of the many offices that he fulfilled was the Ezekiel watchman into the house of Israel. But that Ezekiel warning has not been fulfilled yet, see, where the gospel commission has been preached to the world as a witness. The Ezekiel warning, that hasn't been fulfilled yet, because the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation has not come yet. So the warning is still there. And a watchman's job is to warn about that. It's also to warn God's people that they're going to be falling right into it with the national Israelites if they don't wake up. And prophecy shows, and scripture shows, and I've covered this in many messages. You can look at the Bitter Lamentation, for example, and many others. But scriptures show that the vast majority of God's people are going to go into the Great Tribulation to be corrected. And so they will wake up and repent. And so that's good news. You know, it's a hard lesson, but there's good news at the end of it if they repent. So that's a contrast for what many groups today are teaching out there. But that's what scriptures indicate, and all you have to do is look around and see the spiritual state that God's people are in today. Christ, as I've said many times, is not going to return to a schizophrenic bride that has multiple personalities, and that's exactly where his people are at today. He wants us to be of the same mind, which means his mind. And he revealed that mind in the end time to his apostle. See, that way of life. So, we can touch on briefly on some scriptures that I've covered many times, but we'll touch on just briefly to show this watchman work. Turn to Jeremiah first, Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll just touch some of these, a few of the scriptures briefly, as by way of a reminder for many of you that already know this, but for those who don't know, and it's the first time for you to hear this, then we do need to touch on some of these scriptures briefly. Because I'm trying to convince as much as I can in this one message what separates us from the other groups out there, these other Laodicean groups, these other splits and splinters of the churches of God, or the church of God. But Jeremiah 6, in verse 17, it says, "Also I set watchmen," that's plural, "over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet." And here's the attitude of God's people today, that they said, "We will not listen." God says, "Therefore, hear you nations, know, O congregation, what is among them, and hear, O earth." So there's three groups mentioned here: the nations of Israel, the earth, and then the congregation, see, the church of God. "Hear, O earth," verse 19, "behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people." So there's the time of calamity coming. That's a great tribulation. "The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it." And that's what's happened to God's people today, because they have not heeded God's words. Not just the words in the Bible, but the words that came through his end-time apostle. See, that was Jesus Christ speaking through that man, as he inspired him. So those words that come from God comes from his spokesman as well as the written word. And those words that a spokesman speaks should be based on that word of God. And indeed, that's what Mr. Armstrong did. It was based on the word of God. Jesus Christ himself worked through him. So there's going to be a time of great calamity. So, this, and also you can turn over to, let's turn back briefly to just a few chapters to Isaiah 62. We'll just touch on something there. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 says, "I have set watchmen, plural, on your walls, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, spiritually, is a type of a church. It says, "They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth." Well, Jerusalem, physically or spiritually, is not a praise on the earth today, but it will be. So he's telling some watchmen here to not keep your mouth shut until that happens. And so this is where our work is to warn God's people, primarily the people of God, those that are in the church of God, and all these splits and splinters of what was once the United Church. But it also will go out eventually to the nations of Israel, and then eventually, as God gives it more power, to the whole world. But the emphasis is on, here's another point that separates us now from other groups. The warning is primarily to God's family or people, and then later on other groups. But why is that? It's because only God's people are under judgment right now. This goes back to another fundamental truth that God revealed through Mr. Armstrong, that the world is not being called yet. As a result, neither are they being judged. See, but these groups out here that want to go preaching the gospel again and do it and try to duplicate a work that's already fulfilled, but not being blessed. And the people that are being called into those groups, see, some of them want to boast about growth. Well, they're not, well, I can boast and say, look, you know, the Muslim or even Baptist religion, they grow at 20 to 30% a year, but yet they're not God's people, not yet. See, so it doesn't do any good to boast about growth, because all that's happening is people are being called into these groups and they're not being taught the full truth, the full understanding of truth. They're only getting a watered down version of doctrine and truth. So you might as well just go down to your neighborhood church and attend. See, but let me see. I want to go to another verse here. Let's turn to Micah on this, and we'll touch one more verse on concerning these watchmen in this time of calamity that's coming. Micah chapter 7, and in verse 4 it says, the best of them is like a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. This is the time we're living in now. He says, the day of your watchmen and your punishment comes, now shall be their perplexity. So this ties right in with what I read there in Jeremiah. So God has these watchmen on the scene right when the time is now. See, right when the tribulation comes. So they're going to be on the scene warning. And then you go back to the beginning of this chapter, and it's referring to a righteous man or the faithful man who's perished from the earth. Well, God did have a faithful man that worked for him for over 50 years. He was very loyal and faithful. And that's why God did such a wonderful worldwide work through him, because he was loyal and faithful. And he said many times that the only reason he could think of why God would use him, that Mr. Armstrong, is that because he would not compromise with God's word or his law. Not one iota, he used to say. So yet a faithful man has perished from the earth, as it says at the beginning of chapter 7 there. But then in verse 4, it's talking about a time after that, as the tribulation comes. It says, the day of your watchman and your punishment comes. So here we are now. We're in a time of a watchman work. And it's the emphasis, again, is to warn God's people to wake up and repent, as Christ says there in Revelation 3 to this last era. Repent. See, turn away. Go back the other way. Well, go back to what? Go back to what we had, like he said in Revelation 3, verse 11. Hold fast to what you have, so no man take your crown. Today, many of God's people are losing their crowns or actually throwing them away. That's very sad, because they departed from that doctrine and truth and that way of our life. Another point that separates us from other groups is that we don't produce our own booklets or with our own understanding or our own personal agenda. Today, virtually all these groups out there have their own versions of either Mr. Armstrong's writings or their own new so-called new truth. When they mention very little or nothing about Mr. Armstrong, and even the ones that do reproduce Mr. Armstrong's books are changing and altering them, which is a horrible thing, and I've given a message on that specifically, and it's on the website entitled, it's on a video there at the top of the audio messages page, entitled The Real Mystery of the Ages, and it gives an example of not just Mystery of the Ages, but many of Mr. Armstrong's books that are being altered and changed and edited to suit a particular group's own agenda. But many of the other groups are reproducing versions of Mr. Armstrong's books, but they take Mr. Armstrong's name off of it, and they diddle around with the text and context, and they add their own flowery dissertations and to show their scholarly approach and their wonderful ability to write and knowledge. In doing so, they water down and pervert and just muddy up the truth. So we don't reproduce books or even make our own books like they do, and the reason why is because God has already made it available through the technology we have today to digitally preserve the vast majority of Mr. Armstrong's writings, as well as a good majority of his audio messages, Bible studies, sermons, Holy Day messages, as well as many, many World Tomorrow broadcasts. That's why I'm in the process of building that Herbert W. Armstrong Resource Center page here on the website. It's abbreviated THWARC, And that's going to be a very extensive page when it's all done. It may take me up to a year to finish that. It's because of the amount of information I have to put on that. But so that's why we don't reproduce or produce our own books or reproduce what Mr. Armstrong already did, because it's preserved. And so that's part of what a watchman does. See, he hedges around and protects, see, and defends. So that's what we do. And he also warns. A watchman also warns. So there is a warning, a stern warning going out through this work and this church for God's people to wake up. Now, again, it's done in a context, an attitude of humility. We know we're not better than anyone else out there. We know we're not. It's only by the grace of God that we have our eyes open and are beginning to open and are opening wider, and that God is showing us the state that His people are in today, and that we need to get back to something, a way of life, and that plumb line, that foundation of truth and doctrine that He revealed through His end-time apostle. That was the true way to the true God. Now, this message is not, again, not going to be well received by people out in the world, because it's not addressed to them. It's addressed to splits and splinters and to people of God who should know better. See, it should. And even them, many of them, it's not going to be well received, because most people today are in their comfort zones and they're such and such watered-down Church of God, and they don't want anybody to come along and rock the boat. You know, don't give me that old Armstrong legalism. That means I have to change. I have to do something. See, I have to repent. Or I have to live a certain way. And today, many of God's people are in their comfort zones, and the church, their old church groups have been reduced to nothing more than social clubs. And that's basically what they are. And God is not with them. So that's why we don't produce our own books or booklets. And I've got a short article on the website about that as well. And many men today are saying that they've got some boast on their website about having 70 new truths or 100 new truths or all these new truths that God has revealed through such and such leader. Of course, many of these leaders today are claiming to be prophets. Many are claiming to be set themselves up as apostles. Well, red flags should be going off everywhere, brethren, in your minds when you see that. Because God warns us in the end there's going to be many false prophets. And as I'm going to go on to my next point here, has to do with the ministry. And I mentioned many times where God says that the entire ministry, every single one of them, the entire ministry has gone astray. Turn first to Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll start there. Jeremiah 23, it says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Eternal." Now you're going to begin to see another thing here that separates us from other groups, because virtually every one of them have at least one, if not many, ministers in charge or at their head, and all these ministers have differing ideas and different points of views, and they should all know better. If they were taught under Mr. Armstrong, they should know better. But God's word shows in the end time that they all would fall away, and indeed they have. That's why you have so many splits and splinters and divisions. Verse 2 of Jeremiah 23, "Therefore thus says the Eternal God of Israel, against the shepherds what shepherds are these who feed my people?" See, who is my people? Who are the people of God? See, that's His church. "You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Eternal. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries." Now look who does the gathering here. I. See, this is the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." That will happen. That's a future prophecy. And then in the millennium, He says, "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall be lacking," says the Eternal. And of course, verse 5 and all goes to... Well, I just looked up and realized that my recording was paused. So I'm not sure where I'm picking this back up yet. Just hoping I just was finishing up on... I'd been speaking for about 10 minutes here and looked up and realized it was paused. So I'm hoping I just stopped where it said we don't produce our own booklets anymore and basically covered that. And it does have to do also with the personal agenda of many of these ministers today that are saying that they have new truths, you know, 70 new truths or 100 new truths or whatever they say on their websites, and all these men setting themselves up to be apostles and prophets and every other kind of name you can think of that they promote themselves into. And God says beware of that, because His word's very clear now where we are. And this goes on to the next point that separates us from... Okay, so let's turn to, I had a little technical difficulty there. I hope this is going to continue on, but let's turn to, in conjunction with this, turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, because here God gives a lot more detail on where the ministry is today and where his people are. But I've gone over this many times, but Ezekiel 34 verses 1 through 10 shows that where the ministry is at today. And again, verse 2, this again is showing an emphasis where we separate from other groups. Chapter 34 verse 2 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel and say to them, thus says the eternal God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." Pause from here, because today many will say, well, this just applies to the ministers of the nations of Israel. Oh, no, this applies to spiritual Israel very much. And Mr. Armstrong, I even got it posted on the website, proof of where he warned the ministry and told them not to fall into this category. And sure enough, he prophesied when he said that, because that's exactly where they are today. But continuing on, verse 4 says, "The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, or bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Verse 5, so look what happened. So they were scattered because there was what? A couple of shepherds? No, there was no shepherd. Zero shepherd. So this is a point that separates us from the other groups today, because we believe God's word. It says there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. As a result, verse 6, "My sheep," you can put in your notes there, Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 22, shows whether God's people are wandering north and south, coast to coast, looking for the word of God, but they won't hear it because there's a famine of the word. "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." Listen to this, verse 7, "Therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord." Now see, pause again from reading. This is not going to be well received today by many people out there, especially ministers. They're just, they look at our website and hear some of the messages there and they cringe. And they give scathing reviews or commentaries about me and about our website. But the whole purpose here, the whole purpose is to point back to what God gave us to Mr. Armstrong, that wonderful truth, and to point us back to the true Jesus Christ, our true shepherd, see? And yet they gave scathing commentaries on me and on the website, our church. Notice verse 8, "You shepherds, as I live, says the eternal God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field," because there was what? Five or six shepherds or just one? No, there was no shepherd. "Nor did my shepherds search my flock." So he goes on to say, they're shepherds, but his shepherds did not search for my flock. So as a result, there was no shepherd. But, he says, "the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock." So today, well, let's continue verse 9. "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands." So as a result, that's what's going to happen. God's people, including those shepherds, are going to go into great tribulation. And I just hope and pray that any one of us that are caught there will repent. Because if we don't, we lose it all forever. This is our only time of judgment, remember. Judgment is now upon the house of God, not later. So this can be a frightening message for some who are in the process of waking up or just beginning to realize these things. But you shouldn't be frightened. God has shown us the way. Just repent and follow Christ. And follow that doctrine and truth, his way. There's a lot of importance on that, and we'll show that as we close this message in a little while. So we believe, see, this is another point that ties in with this. We believe that the true body of Christ is scattered today, and that Christ will soon gather his people. And he actually already is doing it right now. He's gathering us through spiritually. He's bringing us together, even though the people, that's one of the questions that comes occasionally, is I get emails from across the nation or Canada, different parts of the world, where is there a congregation near me that I can go and attend church? Well, we don't have congregations all over like the church used to when it was larger. There's just not that many of us. There's not that many people that really want to hold fast. The true church of God today, or the true body of Christ, is very scattered and very small. It's truly, as the Bible says, a little flock. But God says, fear not, little flock, you know, because my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he didn't say, fear not, huge flock. He says, little flock. So, but we are scattered. So that's one of the things we believe, is that Christ, the true body, is scattered, and we very much are. So I tell people that we fellowship primarily through email. We do have an organized work, an organized structure. We still have the church, the government of God, as God shows in His Word and revealed through Mr. Armstrong. We still have that same government in structure. But we are scattered, so our primary means of fellowship is through email and phone calls. And we have a certain protocol we follow. When people want to contact us and fellowship with us, I usually speak to them either on the phone a little bit or through emails. And then after determining they truly do want to fellowship and not just want to, you know, argue or contend, then I could put them in contact with the rest of our brethren and email information and all that, and that gets the ball rolling on fellowship. And then we do meet for holy days when we can, especially the Feast of Tabernacles. We do meet. This year, in 2008, we'll be in Panama City Beach, Florida. And anyone interested needs to contact me, and we'll go from there. And we will also have a smaller feast site over in Australia, and possibly one in South Africa. It depends on whether Mr. Vickers, our deacon in South Africa, will be actually staying there, or possibly be attending with us here in the States. But if not, he'll be the festival coordinator there in South Africa. But anyway, that's basically how we operate. We are scattered, and Christ is gathering us spiritually now. He's bringing together those, as mentioned on the front page of the website, we do desire fellowship with those of like mind, and those who haven't turned away from that truth. And so that's how we do. We do it through email and phone calls, and we gather when we can, but it's hard to, most of us keep the Sabbath in our homes and most of the holy days in our homes. And listen to Mr. Armstrong for sermons and occasionally some of my messages. But we do know that Christ will literally gather us together. See, we're at a time where we used to think that we're going to follow a man, one of our such and such Church of God's minister, we're going to follow this man or that man into the place of safety and into God's kingdom. Well, Christ apparently has shown us otherwise and doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to follow a man. His own word says that to follow a man. So, but we do follow a man as he follows Christ, like we did with Mr. Armstrong. But today, God's ministers, as I just read to you here in Ezekiel 34, are no longer following him. But look what happens as a result here. Jump down to verse 11. This is God's against these shepherds. So here's Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament. Here's what he's going to do literally, physically, very soon. Verse 11, for thus says the eternal God, indeed, I myself, this is the great God, friends and brethren, I myself will search out for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I, God says, seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people. See, I will feed them. It goes on and on. So this is God that's going to do this, the great God, the God of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is going to do this. Why? Does he have to do it? Because I just read to you those first 10 verses. The ministry has utterly failed. So this leads right on into a prophecy. You read to the rest of this chapter, and you read the prophecy where it's leading right into verse 23. This is the millennium. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. See, that hasn't happened yet. But as in the meantime, all the true shepherds have gone astray. So it leads up to the time of the millennium, where something has not ever happened, where King David's going to be resurrected and set up as over Israel, a king of Israel. So isn't that wonderful? So Jesus Christ himself is very active today, friends and brethren. Now, another point, just to touch on briefly, it has to do with the government. I did touch on it just a minute ago. We believe in following that government of God that Christ instilled through Mr. Armstrong, and Mr. Armstrong makes it very clear there, even the beginning of Mystery of the Ages, if you want a quick reference to it, that the true government of God is based on love and outgoing love and care for the concerned of those being governed. So that's how God's government is and his church and the way it should be. Today, many of these groups out there have governments of fear and oppression. They use fear tactics, see, and they make statements like, well, you have to be with us, or you won't go into the place of safety, or you won't be in the kingdom of God. Well, we don't tell people that. I mean, first of all, it's because it's not biblical. You know, you can't find that statement in the Bible that you've got to be with us, such and such church of God, or you will not be able to go to the place of safety or God's kingdom. Well, I can't find that statement in God's Word. And if you can show it to me, I'll take a look at it. But so we don't tell people that. We hope people have the spiritual discernment, God's people, enough to be able to discern where His truth is. And His Word does promise a place of safety and protection for a certain group of people. And the Bible indicates very strongly it's going to be those that are holding fast. See, look back in Revelation 3 again, those that are holding fast. So, a point that I want to touch on too, another point. But anyway, back on the government there, many of the groups today use fear tactics. See, they use fear tactics to scare their people into obedience. Well, that's not God's way. He wants us to be willfully and willingly obedient to His laws and His government, which is based on love. And it's not based on fear. We should have a proper fear of God. That's another message you can go back to look at, you know, proper fear in perilous times. God wants us to revere Him, to fear Him in that respect, but not to be scared to death of Him. That's not His way. So many people today are just scared to death to speak or to say anything in their church groups for fear of being cast out and then lose their eternal life or lose going out in the place of safety. Well, that's not, they're not in the right place to begin with. If that's their mentality and that's the way that church or group operates, that's evil. That's not God's way. So one other little point I want to bring up too along this line, it's mentioned on the website, is that, and I touched on it earlier briefly, but many today have come to contact with upon occasion. Usually those don't wind up going with us, but some do. But is the mindset that I'm Philadelphian, I've always been a Philadelphian, and I've never fallen asleep. Well, I mentioned the scripture, Matthew 25, verse 5, where Christ says we all fell asleep. So today, once in a while, I run across someone who says they're holding fast. When I first talk to them, oh yeah, I'm glad to run across this website, and your Church of God website. They see that somebody else is holding fast, because I've been holding fast all by myself since Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. Well, you need to go back and look at what God's Word says. He says we all fell asleep. And it's one thing to wake up from that slumber and that Laodicean condition and to get back to the Philadelphia standard, but you can't, in doing that, you don't go back in history and become Philadelphian again. See, we've become overcomers. That's what Christ addresses there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, is to the overcomers of each era that make it into the kingdom, into the eternal life. It's not going to be Philadelphians there in the kingdom. It's not going to be Laodiceans or Thyatirans. It's going to be overcomers from each church era. See, we're all the same, overcomers. That's who makes it into God's kingdom. So some of the groups out here today have misled God's people, saying that, well, you've got to be with this Philadelphian group because it's only the Philadelphian. Of course, many of them are claiming to be Philadelphians. Some even use the name in their church title. But the point is, they say that you have to be Philadelphian or you won't be in God's kingdom. That's not even biblical. See, show me in the Bible. See, show that to me in God's Word. God says it's the overcomers from each era. Overcomers. See, overcome what? Sin. That's who will qualify for God's kingdom. Okay, another point. Another point here that separates us from other groups is that, and I've kind of touched on this, but I want to touch on it a little bit more, is that we believe that Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong was used to prepare the way. See, the way. And I want to put the emphasis on that. Those two words, the way, for the return of Jesus Christ. Most people today in God's churches do not believe this. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to duplicate His work or the work that God did through Him. See? And so what I mean by preparing the way is that is that way of life, that truth and doctrine, that true gospel, that foundation of truth, that way of life that God revealed is the way. But it's also used in another context, and that is preparing the way for the return of Christ. And in that context, it is living a certain way of life. We have to, God's true followers or the true disciples of Jesus Christ have to be living His way, that way. And so today, these ministers and groups out there, they use every excuse they can to undermine and belittle Mr. Armstrong. And in most cases, it's done very subtly with statements like, well, we think he was a man of God, but he wasn't an apostle. Or he was a man of God and he was an apostle, but he wasn't the end time Elijah. Or he may have been the Elijah, But he didn't really restore all things. He just restored some things because God's given it to us to add to that and restore more things. Well, this is all hogwash, friends and brethren, because if he was used in any one of those capacities, he was used in all of them. And God's word said that he would restore all things. That means exactly what it says, all things that we need for what? For salvation, see, to attain our crown. And that's what the composition of those two scriptures at the heading of our website is about. That Christ says in Revelation 3:11, hold fast to what you have. Why? So that no man take your crown. Oh, so that means if you do hold fast to that, you will receive your crown. See how simple that is? And so what was it that we did have in that era? It was the all things that God gave us in that era through Mr. Armstrong, the end time Elijah, Matthew 17, verse 11. It's so simple, a child can understand this. But today, these men want to pervert this, see, so they can advance their own agendas and their own so-called new truth. And in every case, I can guarantee you, because I've been through many of these groups and had to learn through the school of hard knocks, that these so-called new truths will undermine and destroy or pervert the true truth of God that he revealed to Mr. Armstrong. In some way or another, these so-called new truths will undermine that truth or destroy it or pervert it every single time. You just have to open your eyes and look and see. Some of us had to learn it the hard way. You know, it could be very traumatic at times. So we believe Mr. Armstrong was used in this capacity to prepare the way. Let's look at a couple of scriptures about this. Look in Isaiah to begin with. And Mr. Armstrong covered this many times, and the Church of God believed it at the time. Today, many have forgotten or willingly refused to believe it anymore. And both the categories are pretty bad. But in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 3, it says, the voice of one, see, not many, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of who? The Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So the Bible, as I mentioned many times, says over and over that God in the end time would send one man, not many, to prepare the way. Not many ways, see? There's not many ways, and there are many religions out there, and there are many points of view even in the Church of God today, and they've all gone off in many ways, but they're not the true way. They've departed from the true Jesus Christ, because he said he would send one in the end time, not many men, but one man to prepare the way, not many ways. And he did. That was fulfilled through Mr. Armstrong. Notice also Malachi chapter 3. Mr. Armstrong covered this many times, and several sermons even before in the early 80s and up till just before he died, he showed where he fulfilled this, and that he went right on from this scripture to show where he fulfilled Matthew 17 verse 11, the end time Elijah. But notice in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Now see, there is a messenger, not many messengers, and there's the way, not many ways. And he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Eternal of Hosts. We'll pause for reading. Well, many today will say, well, that can't be Mr. Armstrong because it's been 22 years since he died. Just pause a minute and think. How long is 22 years in the mind of God? God is not limited by time. He doesn't even inhabit time. He inhabits eternity. It's only mankind that's limited by time, see? So 22 years in the eyes of God is just a split second or less, a fraction of a second. So we have to realize that, you know, in our human nature, we tend to be impatient. So 22 years since Mr. Armstrong died is not very long at all, but look what has happened in that little time period. Look what has happened to the people of God, my friends and brethren. It's sickening, absolutely sickening to see the spiritual state that God's people are in today. And I put myself in the same category. I'm not separating myself from that because I was right in the middle of it. Okay? I was right in the middle of it. It's only by the grace of God that God has allowed me to see this and wake up and others that are with us, and we realize that we have to get out of this Laodicean condition of let me decide for myself. See, but today God's people utterly refuse. So Malachi 3 verse 1 ties into what I said in Isaiah 40. God will send one to prepare the way. And Mr. Armstrong mentioned this in some sermons in the early 80s up to the time before he died. in 1985. And then he'd go on to show where John the Baptist was a forerunner, a type of the Elijah to come, and that when Christ gave that scripture in Matthew 17, verse 11, that John the Baptist had already been beheaded. So that had to be referring to another Elijah to come in the end time. Well, it was, because Christ says it would be one to prepare the way, and in order to prepare the way, it had to have been lost. See, that way had to have been lost. Well, what did Mr. Armstrong do? He restored, see, because over 1900 years from the time of the first century church, a vast majority of the doctrines and truth had been lost. So God had to bring this man up in the end time to restore that way, and restore back some 17 or 18 fundamental truths, plus many hundreds of others, doctrines and truths that all dovetail and tie into that, which are the way, that true gospel. See, they all comprise or compose that true gospel. So now, while we're in Malachi, let's skip over to chapter 4 and look at verse 5, because it ties right into this. This is what the whole context is about there, of Malachi 3. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says, "Behold, I will send you," who? Elijah the prophet, "before the coming of the dreadful, great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse," which means utter destruction. Thus fulfill prophecy. See, God revealed that end time Elijah, that God is a family. And that's how he turns our hearts to the fathers and fathers to the sons, because he shows that God is not limited to a trinity, but rather God is an ever-expanding family. And he's beginning with a few now, the first fruits that will become immortal at the return of Christ, those who qualify. And then eventually, through the millennium and then the end of the millennium, God's going to expand that family forever. It's going to be his goal and purpose with mankind, that he is reproducing himself. But again, that's fundamental truths that many of God's people have forgotten. Now let's tie this into where we are today. So, just like the Ezekiel, in Matthew 24, verse 14, that true gospel, that the preaching of it for the purpose of a witness is fulfilled prophecy. And as I mentioned, the Ezekiel warning still goes on because it hasn't been fulfilled yet. That spanking upon Jacob or Israel, which is soon to come, and the nations of Israel, United States and Britain and Canada and the Israelitish nations. It's also going to come upon the household of God, God's own spiritual people. If they don't repent, they're going to go right into the tribulation, the vast majority of them, see? And we don't have to look around very far to see why. It's because of our attitudes. So this ties in with what's going on today. Turn back to Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. I mentioned in verse 6 earlier, where it says, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." So that's where we are, watchmen. But notice now part of this work, go down to verse 10. It says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, and lift up a banner for the peoples. Well, here's our commission, see, today, part of it, in a general sense, it summarizes it. And if you understand what this verse says deeply, then you can see this contains that warning for the church of God today, the churches of God, because it says, go through the gates, see, the gates of these individuals. You got to knock on these doors, and for any who will respond, it says, prepare the way for the people. Why? Because Christ is about to return. See, we're running out of time. Build up the highway. Why do you have to build it up? See, well, because one came along to prepare the way, make straight the highway. That's what Mr. Armstrong did. But today, that highway is littered with stumbling blocks and stones and potholes. Why? Because look at what has happened to God's people. They've departed from that highway. They've gone many different ways. So God is saying here, build up that highway and take out the stones. Which stones are that? That's the stumbling blocks that God has laid in front of his people. I'll show you that in a minute. But it says, lift up a banner for the peoples. A banner or standard. And I've given a couple of messages on that, upholding the standard. And you can go back and listen to that to get the details of it. But it shows that a banner points the way. It shows where God is at. It shows where his people are. But here where it says, take out the stones, flip back to Jeremiah chapter 6, because we were there earlier. And I'll just show you what those stones are. They're stumbling blocks that God has laid in front of his people because of their own attitude. But Jeremiah chapter 6, where we were earlier in 17, verse 17, where it says, I put watchmen over you. And you skip on down, 19 says, hear, O earth, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. Verse 20, for what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba? the lower half of verse 20, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. But notice verse 21. This is addressing God's people. Behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. Which people is that? That's the three groups up there, the nations, the earth, and that congregation of God. I will lay stumbling blocks in front of them, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them, the neighbor and his friend. And let's continue on. You'll see who this is. Here's a warning, part of this warning. This says the eternal. This is what's about to happen to Israel, the physical and spiritual. Behold, a people comes from a north country. A great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. This is the captivity coming, see. And their voices roar like the sea, and they ride on horses as men of war set in array. And who do they come against? O you, O daughter of Zion. So that's who it's coming against, the end time Laodicean church. And that has to do with the captivity that's coming upon the nations of Israel, just as Mr. Armstrong taught and the Bible prophesies. So back to Isaiah 62 then. It says, go in verse 10, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, and build up. See, it's because it's been torn down. Build up the highway. See, the highway is already there. See, it's already been made straight, but it's been torn down and littered. So we have to take out those stones. And how do we do that? We should point people back to that foundation of truth. That's what we're doing, pointing back to what God gave us. Lift up a banner for the people. Show them where it's at. Show them the way, see? Now notice verse 11. Indeed, the Eternal has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, see, that daughter of the end time Laodicean church, surely your salvation is coming. It is, brethren, it is. We repent. Behold, his reward is with him. See, this is a prophecy yet to happen very soon. And his work before him. So before he comes, he has a work to do. And then when he comes, he has another work to do. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Eternal, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. See, today, the city is forsaken, and it's going to be forsaken in the Great Tribulation. You go back and look at the Book of Lamentations and the message I did on that. So I'm running out of time here. I want to summarize briefly. The many versions of that gospel are being taught and preached by the churches of God today. But God's Word says they do not obey that gospel. They do not obey that gospel. But Romans 10, you can look in Romans chapter 10 briefly. Or you can just put it in your notes. Romans chapter 10 talks in verse 14. How can they learn without a preacher being sent or someone to preach this? But verse 16 in Romans 10 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, who has believed our report? So that this shows that the gospel is something that has to be obeyed. Obeyed, see. So finally, let's turn to 2 John. 2 John. So today our work revolves around warning God's people to get back to and obey that gospel, or live by that gospel, that truth, that way of life, those doctrines of Jesus Christ. See, that's what it's all about, that gospel. You need to live by it and obey it instead of having it split and splintered into a bunch of opinions. So in 2 John, notice this, in 2 John verse 9, I'll conclude here. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in what? The doctrine of Christ does not have God. So that's what we have to abide in, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's what we've been discussing today. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So today we see exactly that happening, where these people of God and his splits and splinters have departed from that doctrine of Christ. He's only got one doctrine. He doesn't have 450 divisions and ideas and splits of that doctrine. There's only one. And he revealed that way in the end time through his end time apostle, Mr. Herbert Armstrong. So I hope this has been helpful. It's just just some of the highlights of what separates us from other groups. I hope it'll help those that are looking out there for the truth and are trying desperately to discern what separates these groups from others. But today I hope I've made at least some distinction between us and what separates us from some of these other groups out there. So I hope it's been helpful. And if you need more detail, please go back and read through the website and listen to the individual messages there. They'll all fill in more details of this picture of who we are and why we are and what God is doing for his people today. So until next time, do take care. I love you all.